First Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. First Peter 1, 1 through 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your text, God. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. God, help us to draw closer to you and hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to continue on with the study on Peter that I have been doing whenever I get a chance to speak at EMP, and kind of finish with his life now. We looked at, last Tuesday, I think, I looked at the restoration of Peter and how when we come before God, sometimes we expect curses, you know, because of our weakness, because of our mistakes and failures. And yet all Jesus had for Peter was blessing and a reaffirmation of his love for him, his calling in his life. And so after that, we know what happens. Peter becomes one of the leaders, right? Peter becomes one of the leaders, the pillar of the church. And so now Peter is doing what Jesus commanded him to do, leading the church, taking care of the flock, feeding the sheep. And part of that ministry as an apostle is to write to these different groups of believers that are scattered across Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey, right? So all these groups of believers have been scattered into these different areas, and Peter, as a leader of the church, is writing a letter. I guess it's meant to be spread around, right? Meant to be read in a place and then maybe moved to another place and read to those groups of believers. I want you to look at verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. That word alien, it means foreigner or a sojourner, right? Someone that is passing through the region, someone that is not, that's not their home, right? But they're a foreigner. Some version of the Bible will say exiles. So I think It's literally true. So the people that Peter is writing to, they are foreigners, living as foreigners in these different cities that they live in. But it's also symbolic when he uses the word exile, because he's trying to say or explain to them that their place in this world is as foreigners. You know, our place in this world as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, is as foreigners, as aliens, as a sojourner, right? As a visitor. This is temporary. This is temporary. This is not our home. This is not your home. This world is not our home. I have a story. I don't know if this story is true, because I've heard it in so many different versions. It maybe started out as a true story, and then just different pastors mention it in different contexts. There was a missionary who served in a foreign nation for a long time, and after many, many years of service, he is now finally returning back to his home country. And he's on the flight, he's excited to return home, and as he comes out of the airport, you know what it's like when you come out of the airport. Do you do this now? I know you guys are old. I mean, not old, that's not what I meant. Like, I meant old like me, as in grown up. We're grown up. Because when we were kids, I remember as a kid, going to the airport was so exciting. Everything about the airport was exciting. I don't know why. It just created this sense of excitement. As I get older, and I just am in and out of the airport more, I'm just like, oh, what, you know, it loses the excitement. But even now, when I'm coming out of the airport, the main, you know, the gate, and then you come out to where people are waiting for their family members or whatever, and I know that nobody is going to be there for me, but there's a part of me that is hoping. You know, I walk out, I'm like, is there anyone? Is Mon here? You know, or, you know, I don't know. Are my church friends here? You know, I mean, of course, no one's there, because, I mean, no one even knows I was gone or whatever, right? But this missionary, as he's coming out of the gate, he's probably hoping, right? He's hoping, and he's looking around, and he sees all these welcome home signs for other passengers, you know, other family members. They have a welcome gathering. There's the people waiting for people to, you know, their friends to come back, and they have a big welcome for all these different people that's coming out of the gate. And when he comes out, he sees that there's nobody here for him. Even though he had been serving for a long time on the mission field, he comes home. There's nobody welcoming him. And so, you know, he's walking and he's a little bit sad, and he asks God, or he says in his heart, you know, hey, where is my welcome? You know, I've been serving the Lord faithfully for all these years. Where is my welcome? And he hears the Spirit of God speaking to him in his heart. You haven't come home yet. You haven't come home yet. And we can imagine when he actually comes home to the Father, there's going to be a giant welcome sign for him. You know, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's, for me, that's the main kind of message, at least for this beginning section of this letter of Peter. I think what Peter does a lot, most of the letters do this, is they'll spend a good chunk of the letter kind of explaining a spiritual reality or what God has done, right? So more of a teaching on this is what has happened to you because of what Jesus Christ has done. And then it's followed by an exhortation. So therefore, you know, since we have this great hope, or since Christ has done this for us, we need to live in a certain way. You know, we need to obey God and do this and that. So this section is basically kind of explaining to us, what is it that God has done? What is it that God has done? So if you look at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we now have a living hope. It says God has, in his mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So because Jesus Christ was resurrected, if Jesus Christ was not resurrected, our hope is not a living hope. Our hope, I don't know what it is. If hope is not a living hope, I don't know what that is, right? It's just, because you can't have a dead hope. I don't know. But because it's a living hope, but because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, we now have a living hope. It's quite relevant to us now because, as we mentioned this past Sunday, we announced the passing of our brother Calvin. But we also know, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in seeing him again is not just a nice thing to say. You know, I think I just think about the world, and if we don't have this, if we don't have this hope, what do you say to a person? All you can do is just to say a nice thing, you know? Everything is going to be okay, or I don't know. I don't know how you would comfort someone when we don't, if they don't have this hope. But because for us, it's not just a nice thing to say, like, I have no idea what's going to happen, but we're just trying to be strong for the families, you know? But we can actually say, you know, we have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he defeated death. He conquered death. And so now, as we place our faith in him, we can also have this living hope, hope of a new life. And it says, so what is this living hope? He says, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the hope is that we will one day, in verse 4, obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So he's saying we have this living hope to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. So I want us to have an eternal perspective, you know? That we have an inheritance that is waiting for us, that is imperishable and undefiled in heaven. I think, I don't know why, so often we spend our whole life on this earth thinking about this life. Thinking about this life only. We get obsessed with things of this world. And for me, time and time again, I come back to, well, I'm so obsessed with, it sounds so silly, I'm so obsessed with entertainment. I just want to be entertained in my life. And so I found all day yesterday, first, I was obsessed with basketball. Because Mondays, you know, I have time off, so I get to watch basketball. And so, just to explain, there was a game that was played at 3:30 a.m. Monday morning, which is Sunday night. And Monday morning, so what I did was I made sure I didn't open my Chrome because I didn't want to know, I didn't want to find out the score because I knew I had time on Monday, later on Monday, to watch the game. So I made sure I didn't open up WhatsApp, you know, I muted all my basketball chat groups in case people mentioned the score. And then I spent 2 hours watching the game, and I was obsessed with it. And then later on that day, Mon and I were watching Avengers Endgame, and so obsessed with it, just reading different stuff. And the whole time I was doing it, I felt this Holy Spirit kind of saying, like, why are you so obsessed with this? This thing is, it's so meaningless. It's so meaningless, and yet I just give myself to it. And yeah, it's not good. But we need to have an eternal perspective that we have something that is going to last forever, you know, in heaven. And shouldn't we be living this life for our eternal home? This is not our home. This is not our final destination. I guess it's like the illustration I've heard was if you get a rental car. You know, if you get a rental car, you wouldn't spend all your money and time souping up the car Because it's not your car. You're going to use it for 2 weeks and then return it back. And if we looked at this life as a rental car, you know, if we looked at this life as an Airbnb, for example, you know, we spend a week at an Airbnb. If something breaks down, you don't touch it. You're like, whatever. I'm just going to go out. You know, I'm going to leave this place anyway. Just yesterday, we had a bunch of repairs done in our place. And just because I live there, that's my home, you know, I'm going to be there. I know it's not my eternal home, but I'm going to be there for at least 6 more months or whatever, so we get repairs done. But the whole idea is, hey, if this life is just a rental car, and we have an eternal destination that we're going to, shouldn't we be spending our time and efforts there? Let's see, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying is this, we greatly rejoice because we have this inheritance in heaven that is imperishable. And even though right now we go through trials, we rejoice in that because this trial is basically a testing of our faith. And it proves the genuineness of our faith. These sufferings and trials that come our way, even though they are difficult, we rejoice because through that our faith is tested. And our faith, the genuineness of our faith gets proven through this. And the genuineness of our faith is more precious than gold, which is perishable. You know, gold, even though it's tested by fire, is perishable. But our faith, when it's tested by fire and we prove the genuineness of our faith, what is that going to result in? Once our faith is proven that it's real and it's genuine, even though we suffer and we go through the fire, we hold on to our faith in Jesus Christ. When we do that, it says, the proof of our faith may be found, this is the end of verse 7, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. I know it's early morning. I don't know how much of it is you're like really getting in or you're just sitting there. But if you think about it, what is Peter saying? Is Peter saying that the proof of our faith is going to result in our praise and honor and glory? Or in the honor and praise and glory of Jesus Christ? Think about it. I don't know where you stand. My stance is it's going to result in our praise and honor and glory. That as we hold on to Jesus Christ and we through our perseverance, even though we go through trials and suffering, and it proves the genuineness of our faith, that's going to result in a time, I believe, when we're going to receive from God praise and glory and honor. Okay? I'm not saying we're going to be like God, not that kind of praise, honor, and glory, not worship, but that he's going to approve of our faith. And he's going to say, hey, you did well. That one day I think there will be a time when he looks at us, that missionary, whether it's made up or not, that missionary who had served God faithfully for all these years, going through difficult trials, coming back home to his homeland with no welcome, but when he finally goes home, God's going to say, hey, that was awesome. And praise and honor and glory will be given to this man or woman that has served God faithfully. Why I say that is John 5:54. If you can go to John 5:54. John 5:54. This is Jesus rebuking the Pharisees. Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees because the Pharisees should have believed in him as the Messiah, right? Because they've been waiting for the Messiah this whole time. But for some reason, they missed it. They didn't recognize him. They couldn't believe him. And Jesus rebukes them and says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Meaning, Jesus is saying, you should be seeking the glory that comes from the one and only God. Some other versions will say you should be seeking the praise. You know, how can you believe when you receive the praise from one another, but you don't seek the praise that comes from the one and only God? Meaning, I want you to seek the praise only. I want you to seek only the praise that comes from the one and only God. That's the only praise worth seeking and going after. You know, and this is RT's life verse. You know, RT says there's nothing more precious to him than this, the conscious approval of God, right? The one thing that he seeks the most, you know, he can endure everything if he has the conscious approval of God the Father. So that's why I think Peter is saying, if you hold on and you don't let your faith falter, even though there's trials and persecution, Peter will deal with persecution later on, that it's going to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the joy that we have. Even though we don't see him, we love him and we believe him. And because of that, we're filled with joy. And this joy is a joy that comes, I guess, at the prospect of what is to come, you know. You remember this example? When there's two builders, two people are laying bricks, right? And somebody comes and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm just laying bricks. You know, I don't know. I'm just laying bricks." And he's miserable. He's tired. He hates what he's doing. But the other guy, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm building a cathedral. You know," and he's rejoicing in it because even though it's the same amount of hard work, his perspective is, "Well, it's going to result in this beautiful thing," and that the end result gives him joy even though the work is the same. And so that's the joy I think that Peter is talking about, you know, that we have a joy that is inexpressible even though we don't see it right now, and even though right now we may not experience it, we know that one day we're going to have this beautiful inheritance, and that gives him joy, that gives us joy. Okay, so let's go before the Lord. The main message is, I just want us to have an eternal perspective that we wouldn't just get so fixated on this life, making sure that we get everything we want and making sure that our life here on earth is wonderful. Nothing wrong with that, but if sacrifice is required in this life for something in the eternal life, it's worth it, you know. If we need to sacrifice movies or, you know, entertainment or food or promotion or money or whatever in this life, but it's going to result in something that is eternal, it's worth it, you know. So, Father, I just pray that you would help our church to live with this eternal perspective, God. I think the reality of heaven and the reality of resurrection is very far away from us, God. We're so, you know, this life is very near to us, and it's difficult to keep eternity and the resurrected life in front of us, you know. But I just pray that you would help us to do that. Holy Spirit, would you remind us, God, that this is not our home. This is not our home. That we are strangers, aliens, foreigners, God, in this world. So, and teach us what that means, God. Thank you. God, thank you, Lord. I just pray that that we would find our delight in you. I think that's part of eternal perspective, is that we don't delight in the things of this world so much that we delight in it more than we delight in God. And Father, I just we want to repent for when we do that, God. So often we put the things of this world above you, and can we really say that you are our delight? You know, oftentimes our delight is things of this world, God, money and whatever, success, promotion, food, entertainment. And come Holy Spirit, do a work in our hearts, God. It's only by your mercy and grace that our heart can be changed. So help us, God. I pray that you would increase just the awareness of your majesty, the awareness of your beauty, so that we could really say, you are my delight, you're my delight. Yeah, come. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our friends battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing to come. Healing is a mystery. As Pastor Che shared on Sunday, the kingdom of God is here, but also yet to come. But let's not lose faith. Let's continue to pray and ask God, because Jesus healed everyone that came to him. So let's continue to just cry out to the Lord for his mercy. At the same time, we know people have been healed that have been on this list before. So let's continue to pray. Let's not lose heart. And let's trust God and pray for our friends on this list. To the second slide. Let's pray for those who are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy. Let's pray for revelation of God's mercy and grace to them, so that they will be able to give their hearts to the Lord. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and family members are going through. Let's pray for healing for them. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision for them. Let's go to the Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for our city, Hong Kong. Let's pray for God's grace over our city. Pray for the leaders of our city, the government. Let's pray that they would make good decisions, godly decisions. Let's pray for all the different ministries that we support. Let's pray for God's provision and anointing. Pray for a few of the more pressing issues, the young people of Hong Kong students, the domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's pray for God's grace over all of these things in our city. Let's pray for our staff. Pray for all of us to be healthy. A lot of people are getting sick. Let's pray for health, God's protection. Pray for their families, and let's pray for unity. Let's pray for a lot of faith and perseverance and hard work. Let's pray for the staff. Pray for our hospitality team, the welcoming and barista. Let's pray that through their ministries, that a real sense of love and belonging would come upon all the people that experience the ministry of our welcoming team and the barista team. Let's pray for the leaders and all the volunteers as well. Let's pray for the worship and sound and AV team. Let's just pray for a very good just working together of these three different ministries. And let's pray that through these ministries, number one, God will be honored, and number two, the church would be able to just encounter the presence of God through this ministry. Pray for the worship team members as well, to let their Sunday worship be an overflow of their private worship. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Pray for a really good gathering. First time back after 3 weeks of break, so let's pray that we'll have a good time connecting with one another, and just a really good discussion and ministering to one another. Can we also pray? Can we add retreat prayer every day, please? Let's just pray for the upcoming retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Brian. Pray for Ashley and Monica as they do a bulk of the logistical issues. And pray for all the different things that need to be prepped. Noah's Ark, youth group, and worship team. And let's pray that everybody will get their visa sorted and no one will get sick. And everybody will be able to come out. And let's pray that there will be a real sense of anticipation, expectation, and also a sense of ownership, that our church would take ownership of this and really do their part in just getting ready for the retreat. And let's ask for God's mercy, that He would encounter us and He would meet with us at the retreat. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us, God. And I pray that we would just have a great day today. Just thinking of you, God, trying to hold on to this perspective that this is not our home, God. And that we would persevere in our faith, Father. We love you and we worship you. We give our hearts to you. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a great day. Tomorrow is a public holiday, so we don't have EMP, and then we'll come back on Thursday. If you want to come to the grief support thing tomorrow, that's 9 a.m. on the 9th floor.